Matthew chapter 13 is the pivotal point in the ministry of the Lord. Chapter 12, they have refused Him. Chapter 13, verse 1 says that that same day, what day? The same day that Israel rejected Him, Jesus went out of the house. Now I believe that He literally went out of a house. But Bible students know that He's also talking about the house of Israel. He went out from the house of Israel. Aren't you glad that He turned to the Gentiles also? He went out of the house and sat by the seaside. And of course, I believe He literally went down to the Mediterranean Sea. But yet, prophetically speaking, the sea is dealing with the multitudes in the world. And here in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, He gives seven parables which deals with the church dispensation. If you will study the seven parables of Matthew 13 and the seven letters that He gave to the churches in Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3, you can see that it's a glove on the hand, how that God was dealing here with the church dispensation. Now, I wanted to say that so that you wouldn't know I was off of my rocker when I read the text that God's given me this morning. Notice in verse number 44, and I normally never do this, but this is what God has assigned us. I always just like to get in a verse or two and dig out things there. But God's allowed me to preach a topical thought this morning. Notice, if you will, in verse number 44, this is another parable that the Lord gave. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth. Isn't that amazing? The treasure was hid, but now he finds it and hides it again. He's dealing with the nation of Israel during the church dispensation. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I want to look this morning in where the Bible said that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. I want to preach this morning on this subject. Every treasure has a field. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank You for the privilege You've given us together today in the house of the Lord. Thank You for what our hearts have experienced and partook of. Thank You for the good Sunday school hour. Lord, I love Sunday schools here at Liberty. I thank You for how that You've ministered to our hearts. I pray now that Your divine will would be accomplished. I pray that You would get us to that distance You want to carry us to this morning. Allow us to be as brief as we can, but to say what You want said. Thank You for this church. Thank You for Brother Ken. Thank You for Miss Renee. Thank You for the church family. I pray Your blessings would be on them abundantly. And Father, for whatever is accomplished, You'll get the glory for it. Deal with the hearts of the unsaved and bring them to the acknowledgement of Yourself by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost through the preaching of the Word of God. And we'll give You glory for what You do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, here we find that the Lord said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Now, lifting this out from its prophetic setting here, I want to talk about that gift for just a moment, how that a treasure would be something that would be precious. You would not call something that wasn't precious a treasure. But here we find that a treasure is something that's precious to a particular person. It could be a gift that would be given by another person. Matter of fact, I have a few things in my belongings that to you, it doesn't mean anything. And it has no value other than sentimental value. But because of the person that gave the gift causes the gift and to become a treasure. Amen. It's not that the treasure is worth anything. It's who gave it. Amen. I want to say here that we find that the gift. And then I thought about, he said here, the field. The treasure is hid in the field. And the Bible said in verse 38 that this treasure is hid in the field, and the field is the world. Now we understand that the world is a polluted place. The world is a difficult place. The world is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian. You need to understand that. But yet, there is a treasure that's hid in the field. Praise God. Aren't you glad that every field has a treasure? And every treasure has a field. Now, notice if you will, I got to meditating upon this. This precious treasure that he's talking about here is hid in the field. Well, I want to say that you and I have some treasures that are hid this morning. If you're not careful, you can never get on to the place of exposition again. But I want to deal with the fact that those things that are hid can also be brought back to light. Notice, if you will, first of all, there is the treasure of conversion. Will you not agree that being saved by the grace of God is a treasure? You say, preacher, it's not a treasure to me. Then you're really not saved. Because anybody that was headed to hell and God gives the gift of salvation, it's a great treasure. Amen. I want to say not only is the gift a treasure, but he who gave it is a treasure also. And praise God, being saved by the grace of God is a great treasure. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, several times it talks about the riches of His glory. It talks about the riches of His grace. It talks about He who is rich in mercy. You say, what are you saying? In this treasure, there are great riches. When I got saved by the grace of God, God gave me a gift. And praise, I preach this sometimes at Christmas, how that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Every gift that you get's wrapped up. When I got saved, I got the gift of salvation. And I've been unwrapping it ever since. Amen. Praise God, the more I unwrap it, the bigger it gets. And I'm still finding out that back yonder 32 years ago, God gave me a gift, and I'm glad I didn't get to get it all at one time. I did get saved all at once, but I didn't know all that I had, but I'm finding out what I've got, and it's a great gift. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you just keep unwrapping this gift, and the great God of glory keeps revealing Himself a little here and a little there, precept upon precept, line upon line, unwrap a little every day. What a gift that we got in the great salvation that's ours. But there's the gift of conversion, but the field of the flesh. What do you mean, preacher? Well, when you got saved and God gave you the gift of salvation, He didn't annihilate the field of the flesh. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, when you got saved, you're saved eternally. But God didn't save all of you. Now, I say that periodically across the country, and folk look at me some strange, some cross-eyed. But when I say that God didn't save all of you, it's the truth. Because when God saved me on August the 2nd, 1980, God saved me, and when He did not renovate the new birth. He did not remodel the new man, the first birth. He birthed me again. He gave me the second birth. I'm birthed again. That means if there's two of me that's been born, there's two of me still. And there is the old man that's still there, and there's the new man that's been birthed in the old man. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there is a treasure of salvation in this field of the flesh. But aren't you glad? Hey, some people can enjoy the treasure because of the flesh has grown up around it. And the flesh is bigger, and you see the flesh more than you do the treasure therein. I want to tell you, friend, there's a great treasure in you, and it's worthy to be enjoyed. And you don't have to continue wondering whether you're saved or not. Just get to unwrapping that gift, and you'll realize there's a great salvation that's in you. And the flesh will keep you from enjoying the treasure that's hid in this field. You see, God didn't do away in the first birth when He gave me my second birth. So now there's two. There's Esau and Jacob here. Oh, you know what's going to be good about going to heaven? I'm going to get rid of me. I've been dragging me around now for nearly 60 years. We'll be May next year. 60 years of age, I've been dragging me around. One of these days, I'm going to get to go yonder. And that first birth, not 30 or 60 years ago, is going to be done away with. And the new birth is going to live on forever. That tells me that that first birth is going to be done away with. But the second birth is going to live on and on and on. Aren't you glad you've got eternal life in that second birth? I'm glad I don't have eternal life in my first birth. I'm glad I've got eternal life in my second birth. Isn't that good? Well, I didn't mean spend that much time there because I got 5 points, but it won't take long. Notice, we find there's the treasure of conversion, but the field of the flesh. Let me say that we need the good bush hog. Now, we're country folk down here. We need God to take the good bush hog of mercy and grace and get in our field of flesh. Get it mown down and mowed down, I think would be the correct way to say it. Get it mowed down so that we can enjoy the treasure again. Somebody said, "Preacher, it's been a long time since I've really enjoyed this great treasure salvation." You know why? The field of the flesh has grown up around it. But oh, if you can get all of that taken care of, the treasure is still there. It's still there. Number two, there's not only the treasure of conversion, but the field of the flesh. Then secondly, listen carefully, there's the treasure of consecration. You say, "What are you saying?" Well, you know, how many of you have heard the preacher preach? You've heard the teacher teach in some meeting somewhere. God dealt with your heart about moving up closer to Him. And then you purpose to do so. Well, that's a treasure. When you purpose to get closer to Him, that's a treasure. When you're not satisfied being at a distance from Him and want to draw closer to Him, that's a treasure. That's a gift. That's a real blessing. So there is the treasure of consecration. But then there's the field of failure. How many of you have purpose to never do it again? And before sun went down, you were guilty all over. I'm not advocating failing. But we all fail. And some have said, "Well, I've failed so many times, I've quit trying to move up anymore." Well, that field is hiding and concealing the treasure of moving up. You say, "But preacher, I've failed so many times, I'm not even going to ask God to help me anymore." You're in real trouble. Can I say this to you? Failure plus failure plus failure plus failure may equal success. You keep failing, you'll learn how to do it. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, somewhere between 5 and 25, my daddy bought me a bicycle. And That old bicycle didn't have any fenders on it. We just barely got by in those days. We spelled poor with five O's. And Dad was a block and brick mason, and he had worked enough in the summer to come up with 20 extra dollars to buy his eldest son a bicycle. No fenders, no brakes. I found out the reason there wasn't no fender on it, you had to stick your foot up in them front forks. And you had a good bicycle, but you wore out good shoes. And you'd break that thing, and sometimes your foot would get pulled in there and you'd stop. You know. But I remember when he brought it home. We lived up in the holler. We called it up in the holler in Midtown. We lived up a gravel road. And they had just freshly graded it and graveled it. Daddy comes in. You'd have to know Daddy. He's a big old raw-bone fellow with no patience. He's 87 years old now and still doesn't have any. He has no patience. That's just him. I've adopted that. Don't talk to my wife about it. But I'm learning, I think. And Daddy had no patience, and he wanted it done yesterday. So he comes in. He says, "Come here, boy. Let's ride this bicycle." "Okay, Daddy." And he gets me on the seat. Said, "Now grab them things right there." And they were the handlebars. And he said, "You ready?" And I said, "I'm ready." Well, I thought he was going to guide me down, you know. He just shoves me down that road. Gravel road. Freshly graveled road. An expert bicyclist can't ride on a road like that. So I went down through there, and I didn't know what to do about stopping. It had no brakes. I didn't know what to do about going. I wanted to stop. I wanted to go. I didn't want to crash, and that's what I'd done. And I plowed up that gravel road, and here comes Mother. "Oh, Eddie. Then she turned around, my dad. My dad's about this tall, and she shook her finger in his face and said a few things to him. And I'd have wrecked all over again just to see her do that again. Amen. I thought, "Oh boy, get him. But finally she appeased him, and he went back around the house, and she went back in the house doing something. He said, "Come here, boy." He didn't say it loud this time. "Come here, boy." What did he do? Put me back on that seat. Shoved me back down that road, and I wrecked this time without her knowing it. But you say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Finally, he took me to the front yard where it was a little bit of grass. And I wrecked a few times there. But I failed, and I failed, and I failed, and I failed until I learned how to ride. I say, friend, you may keep failing in areas. And you say, "Boy, I wish I could master that." Don't quit trying. Hallelujah. Just get up and do it again. And ask God for help. After a while, God will take care of it. Failure plus failure equals success. Some of you in here this morning, we don't have any idea how many times you've tried and failed. You keep on failing. Well, could I say, keep on trying. Just keep on trying. We're not going to beat you up for failing. We're all failures. What I fail in, you may not fail in. And what you fail in, maybe I don't fail in. But we're all unsuccessful in areas of our life. I'm not going to jump on you for failing. Now, I will say something to you if you don't get up. Get up and go on. Hallelujah. As far as I know, I didn't learn to walk the first time I tried. Matter of fact, they told me, and I'm trying to hurry. I do remember, and I didn't learn to walk till I was up around over 3 years old. I was such an anemic. For them to get blood, they had to prick my big toe and massage my leg downward and squeeze my foot to get one drop. Well, I got over that pretty quick. But they told me, and told my mother, said he won't never be amount to much. Well, God had other things in mind. And they liked to lost me a couple of times.
And if I hear this, I promise you, I'm not an anemic anymore, so don't jump on me about this. But I learned to walk by pushing a baby stroller. If I hear a word about it, I want you to know I'm not an anemic anymore. And I do remember. Didn't have no dolls in it, I don't think. I never did see the front of it. But I was pushing a baby stroller. That's how I learned to walk. You say, what are you saying? Whatever it takes to get you to going on, go on for the glory of God. And I said, well, what somebody else thinks, it don't matter. Just get up and go again. Well, I was going to go to 2 Corinthians 4, that, but I feel like I need to move on. You see, we not only see there's the treasure of conversion and the field of the flesh, but there's the treasure of consecration and the field of failure. But let me say thirdly, there's the treasure of the church, but the field of faults. I want you to get this. I'm up here looking. Without my glasses, I can't see you. I'm legally blind without them. That's true. I can't see you. It looks like a cabbage patch out there. I can't see you. But I can assure you, I don't see any wings sprouting on anyone. And I see no halos. None of us. None of us. We're all full of faults. Could I say this? That this church, as good as it is made up of failures and people full of faults. Isn't that wonderful to know? Somebody said, man, I wish I could attain to that position. They got faults too. We've all got faults. You remember when God put it in your heart to come to Liberty Baptist Church. So some of you have been here since conception, but others have come in. You remember when God put it in the first time you came? You remember God put it in your heart? You thought, oh my, what a church. What a choir. What a preacher. What Sunday school. What an atmosphere. Hallelujah! We found home. And you come. And you begin to mix and mingle. And come to find out, those you've got the utmost confidence in have faults too. The best in here have faults too. And all of a sudden, the treasure of the church gets hid in the field of faults. Now, you can't listen to him sing or her sing when she or he testifies. Now you can't, it doesn't do anything for you because you know that they have faults. Well, I wonder what everybody thinks when you say something. We all have faults. And now the great joy that the treasure that was in your heart about this church back yonder a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, that great treasure that excited you when you came, all of a sudden the field of faults has grown up around it. Can I tell you, let's get the old bush hog out, let's bush hog down the faults and realize that we're all full of them, and right in the middle of that field, there's that treasure again. Can I tell you, the treasure's still here. The treasure hasn't gone anywhere. The excitement hasn't gone anywhere. It's just the field has grown up. And the faults of others have concealed the treasure. Could I ask you this morning, if that's going on and you're thinking about going to another field? Can I say, well, I think I'll go over yonder. That seems like a treasure. You just ain't got over there yet. There's a field over there too. You just don't know it. Once you get over there, you'll wish you was back over here with these that have less faults than those over there. So simply what I'm saying, now I'm preaching to some's enjoying it and some's having a hard time swallowing this. And I can't see you, I just can sense it. I want you to listen very carefully. Every church has got its faults. Somebody said, well, they told me they didn't have no trouble. Well, they're lying. They got some liars going over there. And I don't know anything about any churches around here. I'm way up a country yonder. Way up on the other mountain range in Tennessee. Hey, I'm just simply saying, I don't know who's feeding you that. Oh, we got the best fellowship over there every while. They're lying to you again. I'm just simply saying there is no church that doesn't have its problems. And if they don't have any, please don't go. You'll be the first one. Hey, I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm just preaching what God put on my heart. All across the country, there's churches, there's buildings with steeples on them that doesn't have what you've got. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you get away from here, you're going to wish a million times you was back within 6 months. I'm telling you, friend, there's something, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. I'm telling you, got something wonderful. Don't let the devil put it in your mind that you can't enjoy church again. The same treasure that brought you here, that treasure is still here. Just get the faults all bush hog down. And guess what? Somebody said, what is the treasure? Our brother said it somewhere over here this morning. You see, Revelation 1, he's in the midst of the churches. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In Revelation 1. By the time you get to the end of chapter 3, he's outside knocking, wanting in. Could I say to you, he's still in the midst of Liberty Baptist Church. He's not outside knocking, wanting in. A lot of places you go, if you have to knock to go in, you better know there's somebody else knocking too. You listen to what I'm saying? There's somebody else wanting in too. So you just stay where you know God is. The treasure is the presence of the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, I'm not a member here. But I do go over there whether they don't know which Bible's the right one. They don't know which music is correct. And they don't have no, well, I want to say there's a lot of things that sometimes you just don't really have to pray about. Sometimes God arranges situations to get you to where you can get to where you can get some help. Oh, how we need the presence of God. Isn't he good? You know, this treasure that we have is protected by the Savior. This treasure is the Savior's presence. Let me say this. The devil hates what's going on here. Somebody said, preacher, you don't understand the problems that we have. The devil don't kick a dead mule. Why would he mess with something that's already dead? What he's trying to do is to cause this one to become dead so he won't have to fool with it anymore. Any church that doesn't have its problems just a little over and over, you can be assured they're instigated by the evil one. Satan cannot destroy this church. I might have made this statement the last time I was here. He cannot tear this church up. If he could have, he would have. It would have already been annihilated. He can't tear it up. But what he can do is get in the people and they tear it up. So don't let him use you. Just get right with God, with one another, and the treasure will surface again in your soul. Let me give you point number 4. This is probably as far as we'll get. There's the treasure of conversion. In the field of the flesh. There's the treasure of consecration, but the field of failure. There's the treasure of the church, but the field of faults. Now listen carefully here. There's the treasure of your companion, but the field of falling apart. Listen carefully. I'm seeing it now way too much. Husbands and wives that's been married for years now start coming apart because the other party is falling apart. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, how long y'all been married, sir? Oh, 40 years. Why are you entertaining the thought of divorce? Well, she's just not like she used to be. Have you looked in the mirror, sir? Could I say it in terms that we all can understand? You ain't what you used to be either. Well, she's just not, I remember how, oh yeah, I know. I know. You see, the older the field gets, the more problems you'll have with it. Their swags.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Humps.
Yes, sir.
Ball spots. Y'all getting this, and I can tell you. Well, I want to tell you right now, if she don't straighten up, there's going to be some consequences. Well, why don't you straighten up? And the same goes with you, ma'am. Well, I'm looking at Mr. Let me tell you, the one you married used to be Mr. But I'm telling you right now, the Mr. you're looking at's going to get like he is later on. Hey, I'm just simply saying, there's a God that gave you a treasure. And in the midst of that field that's fallen apart, there's that treasure that's still there. Boy, I'm preaching to me now, honey. I'm sorry for the times I hadn't opened the door for you. I may try to do better later. But I remember, oh Lord, it's hard to preach without getting right while you're preaching. I remember when we'd opened the door for her. And slide her in. Shut the door. And go around and get in. And if it was a straight seat, she didn't stop over there next to the door. She just scooted right on over. Oh, what a joy. Now you can't wait on her to get in and shut the door. You see them pull in church, the poor old ladies with their skirt tails hanging out the door. If it's a rain, and you don't have to wonder, because a lot of times they come in and it's a flopping right there, you know. You know what's happened? You've lost the treasure. But the same treasure that God gave you then, that treasure's still there. It's just the field of falling apart is grown up.
Yes,
yes. I'm going to tell you this. You ever lose her? Or if you ever come close to losing her, it'll make a difference in your life. My wife had open heart surgery in 02, and we liked to lost her. Gave her less than a 30% chance she'd survive. She looks good, doesn't she? God's touched her. God helped her. And I praise the Lord. I bless the Lord for you. But right after that, she was on a very strategic diet. I'll give you this and I'll be done. And she still watches that real close. She has to. And I think it was our 35th wedding anniversary. We've been married 41 years. I think it was our 35th, maybe 34th. I should have remembered. I always get in trouble here. And I know it was in July. Hallelujah. We had our anniversary, and my daughters, Holly and Heather, they said, take her somewhere expensive, Dad, for your anniversary. I said, okay. I asked her where she wanted to go. Unbeknownst to them, she said, I want a foot-long cheese cone from Sonic. She hadn't had anything of that nature in 3 years, 3 or 4 years, 3 years. She said, I want a foot-long cheese cone. I thought, you're not going to tell the girls, are you? She said, no. And we got in the truck. We headed out to Crossville, pulled in the Sonic. She got her a foot-long one. I said, well, if you're going to, I reckon I will too. So we got two. We didn't buy one chair. We got 2 foot-long ones. And eat it all. And that's what satisfied her. What I was interested in is not being, didn't have to be extravagant, just wanted her satisfied. Find out, sir, what she likes. And do it. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand what she likes. Understand that. But I'm simply saying to you, do what you can. Sir, how long's it been since you took your wife on a date? Oh, we dated before we got married. Yeah. It don't hurt to go on a date again. Every now and again, we'll be coming down the road and she'll reach over and get a hold of mine and I'll get a hold of her hand. We don't have to say a word. Just a touch does the talking. It's still real. We come back home that night, that evening. Girl said, Daddy, where'd you take? You take her somewhere expensive? I said, sure did. I said, I stopped by the gas station before we went. I said, that's the most expensive place in town. Listen, sir, you've got a treasure in that companion. Well, I'm looking in another field. That ain't your treasure. That's not your treasure. That's somebody else's treasure. Your treasure is in your field. I'm not going to deal with the last point. I'm done. Last point is there's the treasure of your children, but the field of foolishness. It's in all of them. You know how we think, don't you? Everybody's grandkids need a spanking, but mine. And that's the way I think, too. But I'm just simply saying it's in all of them. But there's a treasure there. There's a treasure there. There's a treasure there. Maybe your treasure is lost in the field. Maybe right now your heart's broke because that treasure is somewhere lost in the field. Steal your treasure. Could I say this to you? Don't fix it to where the treasure can't return. You know why the prodigal came home? You know why the prodigal came home? It's because Daddy didn't finance the far country for him. Did you know Daddy didn't finance the far country for the prodigal? He gave him what belonged to him. He took it and wasted it.
But he didn't keep giving to him to keep. As long as you finance the far country for them, sir, ma'am, they'll never come home. Somebody said, but I want to know I love them. Sometimes love is hard love. Don't finance the far country for them if you want them to come home. Let's stand. That's what the Lord assigned for us. Brother Ken, I want you to come. That's what the Lord assigned for this morning. I wanted to go another route. Holy Ghost said, no, that's what I want. That's what I want. Have you realized that, you young converts, that there's the treasure of being saved, but there's the field of the flesh still? There, you've tried, and you've fallen, you've failed. Could I say, keep on trying? Maybe you've lost the treasure of the church. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's still here. Maybe there's that treasure of your companion, and you might or just get her or get him and say, let's go ask God to help us to keep the treasure exhibited. Very important.